Hi, I'm Jackie Cation, and you're listening to the Jackie and Laurie Show.
Oh, am I next?
Yeah, I say the same thing. Are you sure? Except for saying your name.
My name is Laurie Kilmartin, and I'm also, you're also listening to the Jackie and Laurie Show. Seems a little redundant, Jackie.
Well, it's the Max Fun Drive. They're doing a virtual drive in an effort to do a virtual drive. And it's artist-owned, it's audience-supported. That means you. And when you become a member, you're directly affecting our ability to continue this show, as well as Max Fun's ability to plan for other future shows. Do you want to read the thing that says how to give?
Well, listen, I think we all know how to give. It's called stop being a cheap fuck, taking things for free. Okay? That's how you give, all right? We're all in quarantine. A lot of us are home. A lot of us have a lot of free time. And you guys are probably listening to a lot of Max Fun podcasts. And the right thing to do is become part of the family. Minimum, like $5 a month. If you can swing $5 a month, I understand some of you can't. But if you can, do. And if you can do more, that's cool too. Because it's not just Jackie, me, and Kyle. It's everybody that's putting out content. And it's also, you know, these guys at Max Fun, they have like 55 jobs, including this. So everyone's just trying to keep it going. And we're part of a network that's trying to keep it going. So if you can be a founding, whatever, it's not a founding member, but a monthly member, that's really, really cool. And at $5 a month, you could probably swing it.
Do it.
All right.
Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Now let's talk about comedy.
Well. Did you have shows this week?
I did have shows. I did one, I think, last night, mm-hmm. where it was kind of a benefit, I think. I feel like it was KO Comedy out of San Francisco. It's a bunch of nerds who do a show for like a little black box theater that's trying to keep it together. Speaking of keeping it together. And and so I did a 10-minute set there, and then I did some other stuff. I'm doing two shows tonight. I'm doing my Sunday shows. I was going to do Thursday. Remember a month ago when you said do it every Thursday? I've decided to do them on Sunday.
Okay.
And then you guys both did sets last week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are fun. Yeah.
They were really, the audiences, you know, and I've split it into the two 40-minute sets. 40 minutes of different material, each of the shows, yes.
You know who used to do that is Brian Regan. He'd have the idiot and the oddity, and he would do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, he'd do the idiot shows, and whatever, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, the oddity. And people came for both shows. Yeah, it was really cool. I think I opened for him, and I was like, I don't have 15-minute sets, so folks will be hearing the same. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very different. Why are we getting to just see your nose?
Oh, I'm slouching. It's more comfortable. All right, I'll sit up.
Well, kick back. I like people to see the second chin that I'm really wrong.
You trailed off. You froze for a second.
We posted this on YouTube so people can.
Our audio's fucked
pretty
up
glamorous.
Right now.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, it's all being done locally, so what I'll get to hear is every third word, and I think it'll make a better show for me. So keep going.
I think the pod will sound okay, but you know what? I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. Now, Twitter was, like, ghastly yesterday if you were a female comic, you know? It was without names. I don't think we need names because I think we could talk about things generally. A black comic pointed out an older bit of a white comic, both women, that was, you know, maybe hadn't aged very well.
Maybe.
Jackie, all have bits that don't
age
well.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Okay.
Let me tell you something. On the first album, I have a bit called Liberia. If I could take that bit off of that album and light it on fucking fire,
you know
I
what?
Would totally do that.
Now I want to listen to it. That's what's wrong with comedy is I want to listen to the bit that you hate and want off your album.
Well, you know why? It wasn't very good to begin with. I should have, a giant red flag of that thing was Sully McCullough when I told him that because I wanted to give it to him.
Oh my God.
You know what that makes me? You know what that makes me? A monster. A fucking racist monster.
We're all monsters. That's the thing. Me, probably every white female comic in our age range grew up 60s, 70s, 80s. That you and me for sure, white suburbs, white family, white.
The goalposts were moved. They were definitely moved. And I was not aware of what was being perceived by other people. But you should have seen the horror on Sully McCullough's face. And you would have thought that I would have responded to that horror, but I did not.
Sully's one of the chillest guys in the world. So the fact that you horrified Sully McCullough is really astonishing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not proud of it. And yet he could not have been more polite.
I didn't release even stuff on my album from 2009 that is about my then Mexican boyfriend and my Mexican son. Part of me is like I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't write it now. I wouldn't even head in that direction. But at the time it was getting laughs. You know, what's that?
Well, what I think is that there's two things. There's
right.
The fact that in 2009, it was 11 years ago. You're a better comic today.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there's another reason why you were like, well, that isn't actually even enormously funny. Like it would need more work for you to have to do it now.
Sure,
in
sure,
addition
sure.
to
yeah.
what you're saying, which is that the listening skills that we have now are actually more woke.
And our audience, the audience has changed. The audience is different now, and they're younger, and even a lot of the older audience members are more aware. If you just look at the acceptance of the Black Lives Matter movement now by just your typical average white person versus 2 years ago, it's wildly different. So we even might be behind our audience now. You know, but so that happens to every comic. And I think not even just our age, but it's, you're always trying shit, you know, you're always putting it out there. And then you either realize immediately, this is a terrible idea, or you realize in retrospect, if that wasn't a great one, I'm glad I didn't make an album that year.
If you look at, if you look at Will and Grace, and I mean, what Will and Grace, I think, did for gay sensibility, for being aware that that homosexuals are people first,
mm-hmm.
and their sexuality is merely their sexuality. But if you look at those jokes, they're painful. And
oh, really?
A lot
I haven't
of the,
watched in a while.
Well, and the staff, it holds up. I've seen one, you know, like I'll be going through TV, seeing me TV, this TV. We have rabbit ears. And it's relatively, looking back at it, you go, well, that's kind of brutal. But I know that the producers and the writers, there was a lot of gay people writing on that show. And they
were watering it down for a mainstream audience that had just fucking kicked Ellen off the air because she came out, right?
Right, right, because that had just happened
earlier.
Like 2 years.
So it's water, 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 water. Okay, they can accept this one, yeah. So,
right.
I mean, in terms of like it being, this is maybe a separate conversation or not exactly pertaining to what happened on Twitter, but we stand-ups, when we're on stage, we also water it down because we're trying to get laughs, right? You're trying to get laughs while the wait staff is serving drinks. You have all these obstacles, and the giant obstacle is your audience. You know, is this Rosemont, right? And you're trying to do anti-Nazi stuff. You're going to have a big obstacle when you're not going to have that obstacle in Berkeley, California, right?
Well, yeah, you got to get there. Yeah, I understand
yeah.
that. Yeah.
So those are always obstacles that comics are dealing with. But that this was like, this is also an interesting thing I wondered about, but I hadn't given it too much thought, is if you do characters... And because so many white voiceover actors are leaving jobs because their characters are of color.
That happened this week too, right?
Last week, this week, yeah. A couple, Jenny Slate was like super prominent for doing that. she was the most prominent example, but to me, but I that kind of, that makes in you're like, well, that's a paying job that someone else can do, right? Like a person of color can do, right? But if you're a white comic and you just do a slew of characters, it's not like you're giving up a character that somebody else can do, that you're just taking something out of your act if that's how you're doing it. And can a white comic, you know, in this case, the person was she does a fuckload of characters, right? That's her thing. And if you watched an hour, you'd see 20 different races, all gender, you know what I mean? You'd see a little bit of everything. But the slice that was on the internet that you know, may not have aged well, you know, that's one slice, and it definitely troublesome standing on its own. But if it's part of a giant thing, does that give it more context, or do we, like, I don't know. I'm not a character comic, but I wonder.
Neither of us really know what the hell we're talking about here. I want them to throw these people under the bus. Writing characters. What are you, out of your goddamn mind? Write a fucking joke.
That's because we can't do characters. So now.
Entirely because we can't do characters.
No,
but I will say.
Yeah.
That I didn't. There are many things that I can't watch. I think that's been established here on this program. Was it a the difference between that Liberia joke, this, in my opinion, the difference between my Liberia joke, which is on that album, and something on YouTube that she probably posted, if it doesn't age well, I would take it off.
Right. I mean, she may have forgotten about it. She may have.
Right. She may not have even been aware that she's like, oh shit, this has come up to bite me in the ass. But
yeah, I mean, because when it first came up, she was like, I'm gonna take
it down. I forgot
about
that.
Yeah. So she was sort of like, ooh, okay. Right. And then I think this is a second problem, is having this discussion on Twitter in front of comedy fans and trolls. These are people, you know, it's, you have a black and a white woman talking about race in front of trolls who love, they're either going to come down hard on one side or the other. And fans from both sides are sort of coming at the other comic. Although it seemed like the black female comic was getting a little bit more shit. It was just ugly. It was just like, oh.
The
like
reason that you're uncomfortable is because it was ugly.
Yes.
And I believe almost entirety of the support for the white comic was from other white comics.
That was was awkward as
not,
well.
Not, I mean, the thing is if a black comic comes to you and says, hey, that bit, there's, you know, that comic is not in the opening gambit saying, hey, you're a racist, don't do that.
Right.
They're saying, that is completely uninformed and racist. Don't do that. So the thing you're doing, and we identify so much with every goddamn word we've ever written that we're like, you're attacking my very soul.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can't you can't tell me that my jokes aren't funny because that is all I am. And you're like, get another facet to your goddamn personality and let it go and delete a bad thing. Because you know what?
Yes,
a black comic gets to tell me. A gay comic gets to tell me that my gay bit. A trans comic gets to tell me. You remember that bit?
But Jackie, does it have to be a quote tweet? Could it be an email or a phone call? That's all I'm saying. Because you're saying, it's going to feel personal. You know, you don't know if, you know, this person in particular just lost a parent. Maybe this isn't the time to pile on in a public way on that. Like, maybe this is the time to, you know, not that I'm saying this is how, this sounds like I'm telling black women how to approach white women.
It does, but you're not.
But it does. But, well, maybe I am. And I'm saying, I know this woman and I love her. And I think she's in a raw place aside from this. And, you know, maybe that's the time in this case to tiptoe, because she's, and say, knock, knock, hi. Okay. This bit is, here's why it's troublesome. And somebody else did a really great thread. I think her name was Black Superwoman Chronicles, about how a bit like that kind of, why it feels so bad. You know, it was very, very,
yes.
Very good.
Yes, for the 300th time, a black woman comic has had to explain why something is racist to a white woman. And so there's no leg to stand on this whole thing. But I will speculate this, is that maybe the black comic is like, she does this shit all the time. I actually don't like her very much. I'm going to go public with this.
No, that's not the case. Is she actually wrote her...
Are they friends?
Yeah, and they talked it out. They talked it out. And the black comic wrote a piece about how much she admired this woman, and that's why she was really surprised to see this bit.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
could have been, but that could have been the reason. It was like, oh, I actually don't like this piece of shit. I'm going to actually confront them.
Right.
But, you know her better than I do. I know her as a comic a couple of times. So, no, I mean, I've off and on for the last 15 years.
I've known her for like 20 years, I think. And,
yeah. And much more because she's West Coast.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. We spent many nights together in New York
You've been there. You've seen the short sets. You've seen the long sets.
Yes, I do feel like comics sometimes are where we're like, we try anything, right? It's like, I'll put any fucking bullet in this gun and shoot it and see what happens, right? And so sometimes there's a disconnect with what a joke is if it works, right? You're just like, do that for an hour, kill,
not a
page. But I'm just saying that can
not at 35 years into it.
Yeah, at any age. Yeah, you can also. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, for me, then I will speak specifically for me.
Right.
Is that if I have done a joke that is specifically super mean and it gets a huge laugh, I'm not saying that there isn't that part of me that is a comic that goes, ha ha, look what I just did. And I want to take that lap. But I'm not going to try to repeat it again. Because I will also feel bad that I made that guy cry, you know?
Right. You have perceived that joke as mean as you're telling it. I'm saying if you're a comic who is maybe, like many white people, missing some of those sensors, so we don't perceive it as mean, then it's maybe more... But it's more shocking to be told it is. I don't know. I don't know what I'm defending. I'm just saying... I was so depressed at how ugly it was, and
infighting. It hurts your heart.
It does, really, and yeah. it seemed like a simple. You know what? You're right. You're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I have bits. If they were to resurface, I would join you in the chorus. I would be like, yes, that's
well, and
there's all that other shit I might be doing right now that I'm not even aware of. You know, that's the other thing. Like, I just listened to, do you listen to Why You Mad Pod?
No.
Oh, it's great. So you would hate this one because they completely dismantled Hamilton.
Okay.
And I still love the music, but the stuff that they were bringing up, I was like, oh, and it seemed like, and I was going, why didn't that occur to me? Why do I need to hear it on a podcast to even realize that?
Who does it? Is it comics doing this podcast?
Luisa Diaz and Jake Flores. He's a comic and she's a comedy booker.
Okay.
So to me, I'm like, oh, you know, I think I'm super woke and I get all this shit, but even I, you know, I'm missing, there's clues flying all over the place and they're going right over my head about Hamilton. So, you know, there might be other things I'm missing now in my act and
not
others.
Not might. We're all missing shit
right.
Every minute of every day because we all live in our own goddamn fishbowl and the water distorts the vision. And I have my castle and you have your castle and we're going around our own castles. So, but what did they hate about Hamilton?
It's a very long and dense argument and I suggest that you give it a listen. But what struck me is Alexander Hamilton identified as an immigrant, but actually he's a colonist. And the idea of colonists, which is basically white people identifying as immigrants, you know, including us Irish Americans, you know, even Armenian Americans, it's not the same as somebody, you know, a brown
Native American.
Yes.
Native American.
They're not immigrants, but you know what I mean?
They're not immigrants. And, but the thing is, what I don't think Lin-Manuel Miranda, I mean, he was already taking a huge step casting all of those white people as brown people.
But Jackie, that makes it so liberal people like you and me go, oh, black and brown people got jobs. Yay!
No, that's not what surprised the, what I don't, but I don't think that that was what he was trying to do.
I don't know. You should listen to the podcast. I am not the greatest.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to, I don't even care what they said about it, quite honestly. I hope all it right. works out for him. But,
you're an asshole I think on is fire that, today, by the way.
What just happened? I'm the nice one. I don't know if you know this, but I am Dr. Jekyll. Okay, so I'm writing that down. We could call it that. Do we want to do another break? What do we want to?
We're soon? a little early.
Okay. Anyway. So, but the whole idea of you know, I remember seeing a woman on public television in, I think, the early 90s. I was watching Minneapolis PBS, a local PBS station, and it was a woman talking about sexism versus racism, and it was a black woman activist in Minneapolis who was talking about how she was like, yeah, I would love for black women to have all the rights, but you know what? Our men don't have the rights yet. So what we're doing right now is we're trying to get black men to at least be treated like men. Mm-hmm. And then we can work on all women being black women being treated as good as white. I mean, it's so muddy and it's so fucked up and it's so full of just misconceptions.
Wait, what was that in reference to?
Is what Lin-Manuel Miranda was trying to do with Hamilton, casting of Hamilton.
Okay.
It is one of those things that is a step of in a direction, because people don't think of non-straight white men as people. I mean, inside ourselves, we're all just people. But when you look at a dude, you're like, oh, that guy has hopes and dreams and potential, and right. he's going to make it, and he's probably not threatening, he's probably helpful. And when you look at, you know, a 19-year-old, you look at your son, a 13-year-old young brown man who is very tall and gangly. You're like, oh, I hope that guy doesn't hurt me. And you're like, where is that coming from?
Oh, my God. He will hurt you emotionally by blowing you off when you ask for a hug, but...
Hey, does he, is he playing Apex Legends on PC or on a...
No, he plays on whatever you don't play on. I forget who does what. It's his dad bought it for him. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so it's like an Xbox or a PS4. Okay.
Yeah, whatever you want on. the offer stands, he'll play for you and win all your money for you, percentage of the earnings.
Yeah, that can't.
Okay, all right. But another thing I want to talk about is like how there's some comics who wouldn't give a shit if they got that criticism because they actually like that sort of divisiveness and they like their audience to be sort of riled up a little bit. Right. So I think when that criticism comes to a comic who wants the audience to be happy and laughing, that maybe is also a lot to take in.
Yeah. It's I'm psyched that there's been peace. That's what I'm happy about.
Is me
that,
too.
That
me
there's
too.
Been some sort of learning curve.
Yes, because I
because you like her, and I
like the woman who brought up the criticism, and I think she's really smart and funny. They're both former comics of the week, right?
Okay, and they're East Coast though, right?
One is I think the other is West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I don't know.
Do you have any sets this week? I'm going to change the subject.
I do. I'm getting close to writing them on a calendar. That is my next. I'm slowly changing this room from my mom's bedroom to a writing room / office / fandom podcast and do Zoom shows from.
Right.
So I do have them. They're starred in my Gmail. Right. I had a show yesterday and, you know, like some, oh, when is our Jackie and Lori
The 27th. It's a week from Monday. I'm doing hot tub tomorrow, and then a week from Monday, I'm doing the flat. It's a Flappers comic of the week.
Yeah, Flappers really, really runs it great, right? And but then some people are like sort of new to running Zoom rooms, and so the audience is still, you know, somebody was doing the dishes during one of my shots. I'm like, is someone peeing right now? Which I would have preferred to doing a chore, you know? But, you know, I feel like our crowd kind of knows to turn the mic off if you're going to, you know, vacuum during the show or whatever you're doing.
Right. I think, and the announcement is important, is because you're watching a show on a two-way device, you know? Yes. If it's loud where you are, guess who can hear that? The people on the other end of that fucking device. Anyway.
The other thing, I did a set a couple, maybe Friday night or Thursday night. And somebody was recording it. No, that's not cool. But they showed me the recording. And when I did a joke about my mother, you know, being a Trump supporter and dying of COVID, a light beamed into the room, like right where my finger is, and moved around and then darted out. No one else was around. So I have no fucking idea what that was.
Oh my God, is she behind me?
Anyway, like an orb or something. It was really bizarre. And nothing had happened. It wasn't like a ray of sunshine or anything like that. It was night.
It wouldn't be.
It was nighttime, and it was a directed light that came and then darted away. It was quite strange. It almost looked like a little UFO that you'd see in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
In my room behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I need to bring Rontowski in on this one, Inspector Rontowski.
Yeah, Rontowski and Sultanovic will hook you up. They'll find the ghosts that you're looking for. Did you? I got nothing from it. It would not have been a ray of light. I got nothing from that. I got no response from you. Said it was a ray of light, and I said it wouldn't be.
Why?
So,
because it was my mom.
Yeah. There you go. I love having to explain the joke. This is important to me that I get to spend a lot of time. So So the 27th, we're doing the Flapper show, and it's a freaking monster lineup. Aaron Jackson.
Yeah. Jen Kirkman. Jessica Kearson. Ida Rodriguez.
Ada Rodriguez, that's it.
Is that it?
And no, there's two? One more.
There's one more.
And we're monsters for not remembering.
We cast a wide net because usually some people turn us down or they don't want to do Zoom shows yet, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone said yes. I was like, all right, fuck it. Jackie and I'll just cut our time.
Yeah. Or the show will go an hour and a half instead of an hour.
Yeah, sure.
And that's fine. Because if we're just doing tens, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I have to practice this video game I have a 6-hour rehearsal on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 5-hour rehearsal on Friday. And then Saturday is, I believe, somewhere between 7 to 9 hours.
That's horrible.
It's like shooting a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But they did send me a hell of a setup, man. I got an Alienware super-powered laptop, and it's pretty cool.
And then are you getting a big fat check too?
I'm hoping. They've told me that I'm going to, and here's what I'm going to do. Wait for that check to arrive, and then be super excited about it. Because it seems so weird that I'm playing a video game and they're paying me for it.
Shh, quiet. That's my theory about a lot of show business is people get paid stupid money for stupid shit. And
for things
they don't
that
tell
I
us
wanna
about
do,
it.
That I want to do.
Yeah, they don't, and they don't tell us, and we don't understand how they got all that money. And it's not from the thing you think they're doing. It's not from the TV show they host. It's not from their podcast. It's from some stupid fucking party where they had to do 5 minutes. And the Secretary of State was there, and they got paid $300,000 or something.
It turns out wherever all the money is, it's you just have to find some sort of tube to get to it because it's a they will. There's so much money somewhere, and then all of a sudden you're like, you happen to be in a room where it is happening, and they go, "Have this giant pack of money," and I was like, "Thank you." I feel like it's not real. I got to run. And then you run and whatever. So, hey, let's do Comic of the Week.
Yes. Yeah. Comic of the Week, Christine Meinberg.
Christine Meinberg.
A fellow mama.
And funny Christine, right?
Yeah, very funny. Mm-hmm. New York based, in quarantine, I think, in another state, like many of us are.
Good for
her. And very funny lady, very sarcastic. Really like her a lot. I love
That's
a sarcastic
awesome.
Mom who half regrets her decision all the time.
I'm sorry you never met Nancy Kashian, who I believe I got my sense of humor from. Got my timing from my dad. My sense of humor came from my stepmother, I would say. Because she was hilarious, but kind of mean and kind of dark.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Is it your birthday this week or next week?
This week. I'm happy to be alive, Jackie.
That's it?
More than any other year, seeing the news, I'm happy to be alive. But, you know, come on, man.
I know it.
I mean, so mine's the 16th, so that's Thursday, maybe? Wednesday or Thursday? Thank God I'm off Facebook, so I can't... I hate birthday wishes on Facebook more than anything. I took down my...
If you put your birthday in Twitter, balloons show up on just that day.
Nope, not doing it. That might get me to log off Twitter.
When I first realized it, I changed my birthday for 3 days in a row. And then they're like, you have to pick one. And I was like, no, I want balloons to show up every time I go on my profile. What am I, a monster? What am I, made of stone? Come on.
Yeah, I'm a monster made of stone, and I'm fine with it. It's kind of worse for me. I have my own office now.
You guys want to try this pitch?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I sometimes read the audience comments in iTunes.
Oh, our reviews?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if I were you, I would too, because they all fucking love you and hate me.
I don't think that's true. I have seen a lot of Jackie's boring, Laurie's really funny. I've always liked Laurie. I kind of like Jackie now. Interesting. So,
yeah, those are all mine, Jackie. Those are all reviews that I wrote. I tried to do something to buttress up my profile. I came from the dark forest. I pay Jackie $50 a month to listen to Lori. Nasty people.
Here's the thing about Max Fun, though, is that we know, and Max Fun, here's what I love about Max Fun, is that they also know that there are many, many worthy causes right now that you could be donating to. The world is on fire, dumpster fire. So, and we completely understand that if you're in a position to not donate, you can't. But if you're in a position to invest in the show, we would appreciate you supporting our ability to make it. And $5 a month is a cup of coffee, right? A very nice cup of coffee. $10 a month is twice. Whatever.
Cup of coffee.
So you have to go to maxfun.org/join and you'll see all the ways you can give. Most people choose $5 or $10. It's fine. But if you can do more, you do more. If you were truly grateful for whatever level of support you're comfortable with, our trinket is that pin.
Enamel pin of a clock, and it says, "Are we done yet?"
Yeah.
Are we at an hour?
It's really
that's
part of your package. That's what you get for your little tiny contribution,
right?
Large one, or your $1,000 a month contribution,
right? $1,000 a month.
Contribute for those who can't. Let's steal from KCRW.
Okay. So,
Jackie said something unsayable for ad copy.
All right, that edit.
Thank you, Lori.
If it's a specific person who I know has a giant bag of money, I'm wrong. I shouldn't specifically ask them. That is correct. Instead, you get a Max Fun branded pack of dice in a velvet bag with a rocket logo, as well as a deck of custom Max Fun inspired playing cards. Each face card holds several designs nodding to shows on the network. I want to see our card.
Yeah, sure. I want to see people playing cards with Max Fun cards. That's what I want to see. And when I say that, I mean I don't want to see it, and I never want to see it.
You guys can be some sort of Pokemon.
What's your favorite show on the network, Kyle?
I mean, besides this show,
right?
Let's see. I went through a chunk where I was on that Paula Poundstone kick. I really like probably Art of Process with Amy Mann and Ted Leo, just because wow. They're both musicians I nerd out about. The fact that they know each other, let alone have a show, makes my head explode. Mm-hmm.
That's so great. And yeah, so those are great shows that they're also working hard, and you could donate to them too. But we're grateful for everybody on the network, because the network's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get back into
back to business.
There's really nothing more telling than the silence of Lori Kilmartin. It's almost like you say you don't do characters.
You know, I used to do characters. Here's the thing. I used to do characters.
You
and
did?
I did. Oh, God, this is so embarrassing. I didn't identify the character as a Black woman, but it was a stereotypical Black female voice as a telephone solicitor.
Yeah.
through the late 90s.
Well, and, Maria did a voice of a woman who she actually talked to on the phone, and it was a customer service agent, mm-hmm. and she was doing an impression of that woman's voice, and that woman's voice had that stereotypical Black cadence of a Black woman, and she stopped doing it after several people were like, you know, that's weird. And she's like, let's wrap it up. But she has that other story that she told in Weakness is the Brand on Amazon on her last special about writing, she had to write something for some online thing and got paid to do it. Mm-hmm. And there was a trans reference that didn't make sense, and it was actually hurtful for some people, and she was like, oh, well then let me give these people back their $2,000 or whatever, and you could take that down. And my favorite thing was the publishers were like, no, we still think it's funny. And which is
so they had no problem with it,
right? And Maria's joke is that she's like, I had the opportunity to do something glorious, which was to teach someone something I had just learned.
Yeah. I did used to do my Russian boyfriend character, but I don't feel any, although I kind of was like, once I met Kira and I'm like, well, this is an actual real Russian. I mean, I had stopped doing that character anyway, but, his voice, mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of was like, I'm stealing someone's ethnicity a little bit to do my boyfriend's voice in a bit. But I had stopped doing it anyway, was that Kira's story to tell, or Jenny Zagrino, or, you know, other children of Russian immigrants, versus me clomping in being the girlfriend of a guy from Ukraine at one point in the 90s, you know?
Yeah. It's so muddy because there's the stereotypical white guy voice that a lot of Black male comics did in the 90s as well. You know, and there's the setup punch.
I mean, you know, the dynamic's totally different, but
from the angle that it's coming. Excellent point.
Yeah. So maybe that angle, it's not exactly the same sort of question, but I stopped doing it anyway, so I don't have to think about it anymore.
What if you did an Irish voice? Would that be cultural appropriation of your ancestry?
I don't know, Jackie, and I don't care because I don't do an Irish voice.
I want you to do more characters so much, but I would also like you to wear a hat.
Hating the few people in my life that are in my life on a deep level and resenting my attachment to them. To me, I feel like that's me hitting me on all cylinders, and I'm more than happy to keep going in that direction.
I have that gender sexuality joke that I'm working on and have been for a little over a year, because it keeps expanding and then contracting, expanding and then contracting. Mm-hmm. And not every set, but almost every set, I get a small lecture from somebody clarifying exactly what the terms are. And it's been, quite honestly, a really cool learning experience. And a lot of people who have non-binary fluid gender things. And the thing is one of the things I'm doing in the bit is I'm conflating or muddying sexuality and gender.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I have to do to not do that, or if be conscious of where I'm doing it, if that's how I choose to, the joke eventually turns out, I have to have those definitions crystal clear in my mind.
Yeah. So do you wonder, and is this on your mind at all? So right now you're performing for an audience that's coming to you deliberately. They have to work hard to get to you. They're fans of you. They're fans of your way of thinking. Do you wonder 3 years from now, we're back in comedy clubs, you're back in front of a room that are half fans and half people that got Groupon, right? Or something.
I'm sorry, you lost me. I went off on a, go ahead.
But it's like your typical, white suburban sort of.
Friday second show, even Friday first show.
What are your pronouns? Whatever it is. Are you being so careful that you're going to lose that crowd? And do you care?
That is two questions.
Right.
Let me take that question off the air. The I think that I do. First of all, I do care,
yeah.
And that I reach them. But I also care that I reach them in a way that sells. Because I've done, I've been working on that bit for the last year.
Uh-huh.
I have said out loud many times on stage that I read this article that said that there were hundreds of genders and the scientists did not want to tell us because they didn't think we could handle it. And at the hundreds of genders, if I pause too long at one point when I was working on the bit,
yeah,
invariably somebody
right.
in the audience would go, what?
No, right, right, right.
What
yeah.
are you, nuts? And then that would be, so it's kind of, I mean, that's not the purpose of my the purpose of my act is to mm-hmm. make people laugh and to
right,
make
right, right.
like me more.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And to buy merch.
Sell merch. We're merch salesmen. Honestly, we're all alienation up there. We are.
Right. And the clubs are selling taquitos. So together we're affecting something. But I do love when I can explain something that a lot of people don't know, that I didn't know, much like that thing of Maria's, where I get to explain something that I just learned kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff about gender fluidity and non-binary and sexuality, all not, because I genuinely believe, and I could be wrong, is that a lot of people are non-binary because they realize that they don't want to be judged for the binary. They're like, I'm just a person. What I do with my, I'm going to wear these clothes and present this way, but I also want to fuck these people.
Jackie, you are in the weeds.
Things.
You are in it. You are sorting through so fucking much.
It's so big. And then I'm trying to contract it. And every time I'll find like a new spike and it'll
sure.
send me off and then it blows the fuck up again.
Well, so, it's cool because you're, as long as you've got jokes along the way,
right?
It's great. That's so cool.
Yeah. Pardon me while I jump up and down on my folding chair. As long as you have jokes on the way is exactly the point of
yeah.
my entire act,
right,
my
right,
whole
right.
career, and I think stand-up comedy in general.
For sure. Wow, if it had been an hour, that would be a great exit.
Yeah,
but guess what?
Great.
It's not. As usual, we still have to keep talking. Hey, I was on Conan this week.
Oh my gosh, I got a bunch of people wanted to tell me that. You'll be happy to know that your greatest fans can't, for some reason, find you, even though your email address is enormously public. And they loved you. It moved them.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. I knew it was coming up, but things get canceled or whatever, so you don't want to say anything. But yeah, so we did a Zoom talk. Here and then about my mom. I haven't watched it and I may never, but I got a good response. Although I'm looking at YouTube comments and it was a lot of positive stuff. And now the people that think it's a hoax are starting to come in. oh, her mother wasn't sick. How do you know this person? And all this shit. So it's, you know.
I love that you're not willing to watch the actual program, but you're willing to read the comments. This resonates with me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to, well, if I'm not telling, you know, I'm not doing a performance, you know, I'd watch that.
Right. You get the time to watch that too. So you didn't do a set. It was essentially just panel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jackie, the lengths I have to go to panel on a late night show. It's unbelievable. That was my first panel, and I couldn't get it till my mother died of a pandemic.
She did it for you. She loved you.
Trying to further my career.
Exactly. She thinks you're great. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to Gruntowski or Sultanovich about the ghosts that are your parents?
No. That just happens. Curious. I will.
Yeah.
I think I have my mom's, her jersey, her house dresses up here.
that's right. Still but there.
I'm going to move them to this wall and then put up my dad, the green one. And my dad had this piece of shit dog walking jacket that I still have. Aww. And I think I'll put them next to each other and pictures of their heads above them. So they're like standing like clowns behind me.
I'm so glad that this isn't your bedroom. Oh, that's so creepy.
And then here will be a blank wall that I'm going to start mapping out a new set list with, right?
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, that's what I did with 45 Jokes is I had a wall like how people do map out a TV show, you know?
Right, storyboard.
And, storyboard, exactly. So, yeah.
You could do a vision board. You could put your vision board over there.
True.
Because the thing is it's incredibly powerful. I have to say, to actually admit, you can admit to yourself inside what you want, but if you draw a picture of it, or you cut a picture out of a magazine, or you write the words and put it on a piece of tag board like a school project, it makes you want to burst into tears because you're like, it'll never happen. But it literally. You're closer to it by doing it. And I don't know. I believe it works.
If you think it works, then it must work. Because I feel like you'd be the giving it the side eye more than anybody.
I have some skepticism, but I think it's a good idea. I really do. Because then it also, much like a storyboard, it clarifies what you do actually want, right?
Oh, that's cool. Yes. I just realized... I might never get a breast reduction, because I would like, you know, I could do it. I would like to do it now, mm-hmm. but you can't do it now. And I don't know when I'll feel
elective
safe going
surgery
into...
in the middle of COVID-19.
Exactly.
Please don't.
Exactly. Yes. I know. But even, you know, I mean, there's going to be a full vaccine before I feel comfortable, because it's like, we're the anesthesiologist. What have you been doing the last 2 weeks? And the surgeons and the nurses, like, everyone's got to be clean unless they can do instant COVID tests that give you a result immediately. But then the other thing I keep thinking about essential workers, doctors, not all those nurses, do they have to get the Q-tip up the nose every fucking day they come to work? If they get to the point where you can test immediately, you know, and get the results immediately, like, that's just you showing up for work.
Did you get the test?
Hmm?
Have you gotten the test?
No. I might, because what we're doing, Conan's taping at Largo now. And so if you are going to go in to watch a taping, you know, it's like at most 3 or 4 people, and everyone's masked and very far away from each other. Mm-hmm. You get tested first. And I think it's like a quick turnaround or something.
I can't, Kaiser won't even do it.
Really?
Yeah, I can't even get tested. And
you could do, if you were paying for it, you could.
I don't know where I would pay for it, but I'll wait till my sound exchange money comes in and see if I can afford to pay for it.
Well, I mean, you don't have symptoms, right?
No, I don't. But
do you have your pulse oximeter? Are you doing that?
No, that oxygen thing?
Yeah.
No, I ordered one, but they said that they canceled the order because they couldn't get it.
Okay, I just got one for my friend, and it came within a week, so I'm going to get you one too. Because if you're panicking, just check it every single day, because that's the thing that they're saying shows up first and people don't notice it. for some reason, the way Corona hits you, you don't notice you're not getting the oxygen you need until you have almost zero oxygen. So you can just check it once in the morning when you wake up, and just if it, you're normal and you have a normal temperature, probably okay.
Right. My mother-in-law's had a fever for off and on for the last month, and but they don't think that she's got it. And I know she has one of those finger oxygen things.
Check it
right
now.
Just use that.
If she's 95 and up, she's good, probably.
Yeah.
Here I am turning into Rogan giving medical advice. Yeah, man, if you're 95, you're fine. Do a show.
I have a friend of ours who just flew to Europe today to work on a movie.
Oh.
And
is that our friend Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He's a very good friend.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I had put the name in the chat. And the thing is that I was thinking about it, and I'm like, there isn't a way. I can't do. I feel
like going to the UK, right? Because the rest of Europe won't let Americans in.
Hungary.
Oh, okay, Hungary. All right. Sorry, Stan. All right. There's a couple of those Eastern European countries that will let anybody in still, I'm sure.
Right. Okay. And but I will say this is that I remember in 2005 I went to Iraq with Scott Kennedy, and I think that was. May you rest in peace. Yes, and but I think that that was safer than getting on an airplane and flying to Eastern Europe.
I don't know.
It feels.
You got it. Did you ever see Naomi Campbell's Instagram videos way before COVID was even a thing? She has always been dressing head to toe in scrubs, mask, face shield. Every time she gets on a plane, she gets into first class, she wipes down her seat, she wipes down everything.
Doing it for years?
Yes. Yes. We should all be following in her footsteps and doing what she does, because she's from the future.
Did you see that I read an article that said that that Japan had less than 1,000 deaths for COVID so far?
Yeah.
Because everybody's been wearing masks forever.
Yeah, right.
They're big mask people, and much like a shoe, shirt, and a mask. They're just
Taiwan also did very well. South Korea. I mean, they're having blips and stuff, and Hong Kong just closed down all their schools again. And Hong Kong had a ton of protests too, shitload of protests. But the latest findings are. Or outdoors, way safer, more safer. My son's back at water polo practice. They have, the kids are assigned parts of the lane. Okay. I've been swimming at the Verdugo pool where it's only two people per lane, and you have to be on opposite ends of the pool. So you're not within breathing.
Two people per pool.
Per lane.
Wait, the lanes aren't that big. So you have to pass.
Yeah. The lanes are like, yeah, you're passing each other, but here's the thing: most of the time you breathe out into water, okay. And unless you're kicking, then you're breathing out, okay. But you're breathing into water, and the chlorine kills the COVID. So it's swimming. I mean, I know I sound like I'm, promoting
justifying
what I'm interested
your
in.
Own thing. Yes,
but it's one of the more safer outdoor activities you can do. And my kid is also, so it's with other kids. Again, less likely to be transmitting, and they're all very far apart from each other. They're all wearing masks until they get in the water, and then they're pretty far from each other.
The next episode of The Dork Forest. I didn't want to wait for you to ask.
Okay.
Anyway, is with Christine Blackburn, and she likes tennis and all racket sports, including something called pickleball. And pickleball is tennis, badminton. Ping pong. She has tennis elbow right now. She showed me on the Zoom thing. It looks.
How do you know it's not pickleball elbow?
It could be pickleball elbow, but she plays with like Matt Oswalt, Mark Fernandez, who they're both very big, very powerful, like strong dudes. Kind of like would be like if Kyle, if you were athletic. Let's talk about it.
I'm telling you, she's a stone stone cold bitch today, and no one is safe, Kyle. I apologize.
Oh yeah, no, she's a zing machine. We got this.
Going after my dead mother, who is a saint.
No one's
and Kyle.
I'm just saying.
No one's safe.
No one is safe. I should probably. I'm gonna. I'm planning on sweating later today. I got a video game to play, and I don't know if you've played a video game, but it's sweat worthy. It makes you sweat.
I'm still astonished that hot yoga is happening. It's not. I'm not going back till there's a vaccine. But
people are doing it.
It's ridiculously unsafe, in my opinion.
I've gotten from my Pilates studio. That's mm-hmm. right. I have a Pilates studio. and I still have credits with them. And they're like, this is what we're doing. Everyone has to wear gloves and masks and bring your own water. And we're wiping everything down. And I'm like, yeah, you can do that for other people. Do you have anything on YouTube?
Do you still have a roof? Because if you do, I'm not showing up, okay?
I'm not going into a building to breathe and work out with people.
No, I don't. If you got rid of your walls and your roof, I'm in.
Right.
Sign me up.
Oh, it would be like, you know, the workout thing down on Venice Beach where they have the outdoor lifting mm-hmm. thing?
Yeah.
If they had outdoor Pilates with a...
Yeah. Yeah, and people wearing masks, the likelihood of transmission is really, really low.
And I would say this, too, about hot yoga. Currently in the valley, it's 101 degrees. So it's just, super hot out there.
Just
get out there.
Is hot yoga, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Kyle, how long have we done?
I know.
I mean, your internal clock is perfect, because I was about to say we're one max fun ad away from being done.
Woo! Hey, fuckers, put us out of our misery and sign up for Max Fun and say it's the Jackie and Lori show that sent you.
I want to say thanks again. I'm actually reading some dialogue, you guys. I do want to say thanks again to everyone who's gone out of their way to support the show as a Max Fun member. You're truly the reason we're able to creating this show. That actually is not a lie, because why would we all come together in Zoom? We can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
If you haven't had a chat, you gotta go. We gotta plug the maximumfun.org/join a couple of times.
Yeah. maximumfun.org/join.
That's something. Mm-hmm. And I only have us at 57 minutes.
Oh, really?
You have, yeah.
I mean, we're a little short. Do we want to make this ad longer?
Wait.
What are you doing this week? We're gonna do the thing with all the comics. We're going to do comedy, right? Yeah. Let's do stand-up again.
On the 27th. Please buy tickets to that if you can. Show up. Great show of murderers.
Insane lineup. It's preposterous.
Yeah.
It's a preposterous lineup, quite honestly.
It's an embarrassment of comedy riches.
Yeah. And what do you have any other shows this week?
Yes. The 14th. I am on a Zoom show on June 14th. July 14th. 6 p.m. Pacific. I will be posting that information on my Twitter feed. How about you?
I'm doing Hot Tub tomorrow night at I think it's a 7 or 8 p.m. and I'll be posting it on probably reposting it on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all the things. And mm-hmm. And then every Sunday I do sort of Sunday services where I work on these jokes for the same 60 people who like me. And and some new people. So if, you know, come on out. I posted it on the Patreon, too, so that if they wanted.
Oh, hey, you know who was cracking me up this week was Maggie May. I did a show with her. I think it's the one where my mother appeared. And maybe my mom was just coming in to laugh at Maggie. And then saw I was up and was like, oh, I'm out of here. But no, she had some really, really funny stuff on white women. And I recommend you seek out Maggie May. She's one of our former comics of the week. And she's great. And she's doing Zoom shows. So you can catch her really easily. There's no excuse.
She did last week's Zoom show, my Sunday services. She did. She opened. This week it's Danielle Perez, Carmen Morales, Dana Eagle, and Brandy Posey.
Damn.
All comics of the week. I'm doing two shows, right, tonight? It's tonight, so it's over. But it's a 7:30 and a 9 p.m. Yeah. I'm doing them late so that if people in Hong Kong and Melbourne and stuff want to watch, they can do it. And but the first show, I'm going to try to do the squeaky set.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's But the openers aren't squeaky. It's going to be Dana Eagle and Danielle, I think. And then the second show
known filthmongers.
And then the second show is Carmen and Brandy Posey are opening. And they're each doing 10s. And
cool.
Then,
those are killer lineups.
Yeah, 40 to 50. Mm-hmm. So
I guess I was busy.
You did last week.
I want all of them.
I got to go.
Yeah. Go to maxfun.org/join, that is.
That's yes. Right. Yay, Kyle.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.